Alt Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
We recorded to tape, so just old school, like how soul used to be recorded. Sometimes when I put out songs and I'll listen like a year later, I'm like, oh, why did I do that? But this hasn't got to that point yet. I'm excited to take it on tour with Jaylen. There's just a lot of people in Melbourne that love soul, and there's a lot of people that aren't musicians that are championing soul. I was a little obsessed with Alicia Keys when I was a teenager. Alicia Keys and Aretha Franklin are my two biggest loves. And I used to learn Alicia Keys songs on piano just by ear, and like make all my family and friends listen to me play them and stuff when I was like 12. I can see it all when
I'm with you. Good day, it's Luke Scanlon back again with another episode of Alt Down Under. Episode 32. What a time to be alive. And as you heard there in a little sneaky peek intro at the top of the show, we are chatting to Melbourne-based soul singer Wilson. And it is a conversation that fully delivers. Wilson, aka Shannon Bush, runs us through her latest album, her second album, Bloom, which came out late last year, and how a decade-long relationship with Charles Bradley's band led to the recording of this album with them in Brooklyn. Pretty bloody cool, if you ask me. Plus, we'll chat to her about supporting the wonderful Jaylen Ngondo when he comes over on tour here in Australia. I will be seeing the great man play live at Golden Plains Festival. I am supercharged for. Cannot wait to get down to that one. Only a month or so away from that weekend, back in the soup, in amongst it once again. I think I've only just about recovered from Meredith. Plus, the Melbourne soul scene and the soul scene in wider Australia. What does Wilson make of it, and why is it having such a moment right now? We'll get into all of that. Plus, of course, she will be building her dream gig venue. All that coming up, episode 32 of Alt Down Under.
Alternative Down Under.
Yes, so since the last episode, my chat with Maisie Everett from the Bel Air Lip Bombs, I had a lovely little email telling me I'll be going down to Golden Plains, getting some content down there, capturing the energy of the weekend and bringing some videos to you, and no doubt chatting about it on the show, hopefully before and after the festival weekend. That's in March. I mean, January just went on forever, and now I'm chatting about March all of a sudden. What's going on here? But yeah, what a couple of weeks it has been. Big news also for you indie heads out there. Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever are back. Man, what a little throwback that was. I've been listening to them since they announced their return off the back of their new single, Sunburned in London, which is actually possible. I know I always get stick being a Brit in Australia for how cold, grey, and I think everyone's just got a Dickensian version of London in their head. It's just smoke and smog and no one goes outside. But it is pretty bleak this time of year, that is true. But in the summer, it actually is pretty disgusting. Especially if you get on the tube, it is basically an inferno. But there's always some fucking maniac getting on there in a parka, no matter what the weather. A parka, a puffer. Seriously, man, what's going on? Anyway, I digress, as per usual. Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever are back with a bang, and they have announced a date at the Northcote Theatre, 17th of February. That is a mere 3 days after Valentine's. Remember your cards. For those lovers out there who have forgotten already. Apologies, I've had a couple of coffees before recording this morning. So that's a bit of fun. But great to have them back. And just, oof, that little bit of indie goodness that tickles a very specific part of my musical taste. Good to have them back, and more tunes on the way, I'm sure, from those boys. Also, three tracks slash artists to look out for that I'm liking at the moment. I'm going to put up a little video that will be on the Alt Down Under TikTok and Instagram. Check them out. Check out the video. Like, share, subscribe, follow. It genuinely does help. Also, we've gone past 500 followers. Hello. Next up, world domination.
Alternative Down Under.
All right. I actually don't want to natter too much before we get into this chat, because as I said at the top of the show, it is one with plenty meat on the bones and a conversation with an artist that is just, oh, got all the good parts of soul elements of jazz within her sound, and you'll find out about that. The influences she had growing up, actually studied jazz as well in her younger years. Here's my chat on episode 32 of Alt Down Under with the brilliant Wilson. Wilson, welcome to Alt Down Under. Thank you for joining us. How's things?
Thanks so much for having me. Things are good.
Welcome along. Yeah, they are good. Well, there are plenty of good things to talk to you about. In particular, your most recent album, Bloom, that came out in October, end of last year. That weirdly seems like a long time ago to me. Does that seem like a long time ago to you?
It does. It feels like we've had a whole year since then.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's been wild. Like, I do think January went on for about 4 months, though. There was that.
Yeah, it did feel like a very long time.
Yeah. So that album, being a big fan of it, I want to go back to the recording process because I read that you were over in Brooklyn and it was all recorded live. How was that? That must have been amazing.
Yeah, we recorded to tape. So just old school, like how soul used to be recorded. And yeah, just the whole band in a room all at once, all playing the arrangements all together. So they really, because it's to tape, they really have to have the arrangements down, and like it has to be, you can't overdub. Well, you can overdub stuff, but you shouldn't really on tape. It was so awesome. The band was incredible. They were really, really awesome. They just made my songs. They basically did what I had in my head. It was like a dream come true.
Yeah, amazing. That is so cool that you did it to tape as well, because it's got that like real nice texture to it as well on the sound.
Yeah.
When I read that about recording it live to tape, I was like, whoa, hello. Because like I've done this podcast for a while, but I've also done live radio. But in my brain, I'm actually better being live because I fuck up way less. Because you don't have that fallback.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we can just do that again in a sec. How do you have the live element? Were you really nervous going into that recording?
I was nervous, yeah, because we didn't want to, the more you record on a roll of tape, the tape gets worse and worse, and then you have to get like a new tape. So you don't want to do it too many times over the same part of the tape. So we kind of gave ourselves like a limit. We would go through the songs like 4 or 5 times and then choose one of the takes as the take. So yeah, it's scary doing it that way, but it's how music used to be recorded. So yeah.
True, man. Absolutely. Yeah, it's cool. And actually, I just think the fact that you did that like really kind of ties in to the sound nicely as well, because it obviously harks back to a time long gone. And like, I think also your style as well was very kind of towards that 60s, 70s vibe. So yeah, in terms of the look and the feel of the album, was that something that you had very much in mind? Because it's like, obviously your first album did have that soul element as well, but I think this on Bloom is more so dedicated specifically to that.
Yeah, we did have a theme and a style in mind from the very beginning. I have loved Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings and Charles Bradley and the Extraordinaires my whole life, well, since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And they've been a huge influence on me. And recently, Jalen Nagonda has also been a huge influence on me. And they're all in the Dap Tone label. So that whole sound has been something that's been really in my head and in my brain for the past like 10 years. And it's been a dream to make an album that is kind of in line with that sound. Because the musicians that I hired were literally Charles Bradley's band, like the whole band. Yeah, they were his touring band. Cool. That's how I met them. I supported Charles in Melbourne when he was still alive. And met the band, kept the friendship going, and then 10 years later recorded an album with them. So
man, that is so cool, because he had such an interesting story as well, because he didn't quite get his like his credit or his fandom till quite late in his career, did he?
He was a James Brown impersonator to begin with.
That's right, yeah.
The Daptone guys found him somehow. I can't remember the exact story. There's a good documentary on that.
Okay, I'll give it a go.
that style of music is perfect for him. Like he just kills it. He's so incredible.
Yeah, that's so cool that you stayed in touch with the band as well. Because I was going to say, like, oh, going into that room, you must have been even more like, oh, hello. But having that kind of, that's quite nice that you knew them beforehand. I guess that kept things quite mellow and quite, like, kept you, like, your head in the game.
Yeah. We've used the horn section on all of my music that I've ever released. So that relationship, the horn section, was the strongest relationship. But the band members, I hadn't really spoken to, like, the drummer or the guitarist since the Charles Bradley gigs.
Yeah, right.
The one that really the strongest friendship was Billy Orksick. So he's the trumpet player. And he is the one that co-produced the album with Stephen Mowat. So it was them and me, and then Billy put a band together for the album, and it just so happened that it was literally the rhythm section and the horn section from the Charles Bradley band. I was like, cool.
Man, I'm loving these flexes all over the place, man. It's so good. Yeah. But I love that you're also a fan of all the Deftones stuff as well. Like, I'm a massive fan of it. Are you supporting Jalen Gonder as well?
I am, yes.
Yeah. The dates have gone out of my head because I saw him in, I want to say 2024 at Northcote Theatre, and he was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you that's just like, you're absolutely pumped for that, I can imagine.
I'm so pumped. It's in March.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I get to play the Forum, which I've never played before. And that is, I'm really pumped about that.
Yeah, man. It's such a cool space. Whenever I go there, it's like quite a nice slice of home because it's very similar to Brixton Academy. It's like got that old, like, theatre weird like faux Roman thing going on.
Yeah.
Like with all the statues and everything.
Is that, did the Teske brothers play there in like
2020? I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
I feel like I've played there because I supported them.
Yeah, because you did UK and Europe with them, like, yeah, 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago.
Was it the cool. O2? Is that what it's
O2 called? Academy Brixton.
Yeah.
And it's like a big dome on the outside.
Yeah, I fully played there with them. That was incredible. It is like the Forum too.
Yeah, it is. It's very similar. That's so funny, by the way. I think I might have played there, actually.
I think I might have played there.
I love the casualness of that. That's pretty cool. You have one of the Teskies on the first album, didn't you, on one of the tracks?
I did. I have a duet with Josh. It's called Hurt So Bad. He was kind enough to hop onto that song with me.
Yeah, because you did a solo version of that as well.
Yeah.
On that album. Yeah, cool. So how did that, did you guys just know each other?
Yeah, we do. We're just from the Melbourne music scene. He's just like a really friendly, lovely dude.
Yeah, Joe, it's funny. The amount of times the Teske brothers kind of inadvertently come up when I have chats with artists from Melbourne is pretty funny.
They're so lovely.
They went to school with Ella Thompson. I had a chat with Ella not that long ago.
They're all from Warrandyte, in the country.
Yeah, going back to Bloom, I love chats that just end up going all over the place. This is exactly what I'm like at the pub. So, yeah, going back to Bloom, how have your personal feelings being around it, because I can tell you as a fan that I think it's amazing. I presume you're very proud of it as well, but how have you kind of gone as the months have progressed in your relationship with it as well?
I'm really proud of it myself because the sound was really I think we got the sound right. Like, I had this style in my head that I wanted to do, and yeah, we just chose the right, well, Billy helped us choose the right people and we got the sound right. So that for me, sometimes when I put out songs and I'll listen like a year later, I'm like, oh, why did I do that? But this hasn't got to that point yet. This album, I'm like, yeah, I actually really like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I hit like a few goals of mine or a few more steps in the, I don't know, this is not the most important thing, but it did better than my last album in terms of like, I got in the friggin' ARIA charts, which has never happened to me before. That was really exciting. I've sold out of the first pressing of it and I've had to repress it, which didn't happen the first time. So just like little steps like that have happened this time and it makes it more exciting. I still love the album. I'm still really proud of it. And I'm excited to take it on tour with Jalen. I feel like that'll be a good bump, like make some new fans and yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you perfectly, like, in terms of a support for him, you like perfectly, you know, compliment him on that bill, 100%. But yeah, on a personal note, like, I think The Way was the first track I heard off of the album and I'm just a massive fan of that. But I really like Girl as well, because when I listen to that, I kind of hear, obviously it's soul, but I also hear quite a lot of different eras of R&B throughout that track. Mm-hmm. I really like that. What was the inspiration behind the sound on that number?
Yeah, that one, for me, if I had to pick like an odd one out on the album, I'd probably, that'd be it, because it is a slightly different, more chill R&B-ish sound. We tried to make it not too odd one out by like steering it in the direction of the other songs. Hopefully that worked. I'm not sure. That's a really cute song for me. It's about my friends and just how women lift each other up and look after each other. And yeah, it's kind of like a love letter to like my female friends.
Beautiful song. It's weird as well because I clearly love it so much that I've used the word number to be like, well, how'd you get to that number? I've not done that ever on this podcast, so you're welcome. And also, Weightless is just such a joyous, beautiful, well-written song.
Oh, thank you.
Bless. Yeah, it's so good. You mentioned previously like falling in love with music when you were kind of 13, 14. I personally think that is like the most critical age for music because, as I've said a million times on this podcast, I can't play anything, literally nothing, but a massive music nerd and love music. Don't think I'd have a personality without it, to be honest. But I think that that little pocket, kind of 13 to 15, is so important. Who were the big artists for you around that time? Because it's clearly left like a big mark on you.
Yeah, that time, I agree with you. That time's like a vital time in a music lover's brain. You develop all of your first obsessions and first loves. And mine at that time were Aretha Franklin, still is. She's my number one. Etta James. I was obsessed with Etta James. Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, Stevie Wonder. I used to love Ray Charles, random, but...
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I was so obsessed with
him. No, that's great. I love him as well, yeah.
Yeah.
I had all the same stuff growing up as well. Was that stuff that was like just being played in your house growing up, or did you go and dig that out yourself?
Yeah. My parents, they aren't super musical, but they loved music, like you.
Literally. That's basically like my parents as well. We had music on all the time, but weirdly, no one had played anything.
So my mom loved big, big, bold singers like Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. Like she used to play Stevie Wonder to me, the Bee Gees, just like big, soulful voices. And then my dad on the other side was the jazz fan, and he introduced me to Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday and Sarah Vaughan and all those voices. Frank Sinatra, he was a big Frank Sinatra fan. Then when I was 13, as you were saying, as well as all of those influences, I then also went off on like the R&B tangent. So I was obsessed with like Alicia Keys and Mariah Carey and Jill Scott and all of them. So I guess it all just like melded together.
And it's come up with a great sound. I love it.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned Alicia Keys, because going back to Girl, like when I mentioned different eras of R&B, that is exactly who I think of when I listen to that track.
Oh my gosh, that actually makes me feel so happy. I wasn't going to say it, but I was a little obsessed with Alicia Keys when I was a teenager.
Yeah, that's fair.
Everyone that knows me really well knows that Alicia Keys and Aretha Franklin are my two biggest loves.
Yeah, okay.
And I used to learn Alicia Keys songs on piano just by ear, and like make all my family and friends listen to me play them and stuff when I was
gather around.
Yes. The next Alicia Keys song.
Yeah. That's really cool to hear.
So that actually makes me feel awesome that you can hear that coming through, because it is in there.
There you go. It's in there somewhere deep down. With that as well, I want to ask you, like, in terms of discovering your voice, like how did you arrive at that? Did you know you always had that voice within you, or was it a case of like you had to do a bit of work and arrive at where you are now?
I've always been musical. I've been singing and playing piano since I was like 5 or 6. My mum put me in piano lessons and singing lessons when I was very young. But same, I had like an older brother who went through the same thing. So it's kind of like music. I don't know. All the kids in our family were just musical and creative. My parents probably hated it because they were like scientific brains. And then raised three children that were like artists and musicians.
I thought you were going to say your parents hated it because there was just like 12 instruments being played at once in the house.
Nah, my mom loved that we were musical. I credit her with really nurturing, for someone who wasn't doing music herself, she really nurtured the musical ability in her kids. So, Big ups to mum. I can't even remember what the question was.
That's what I love this chat, because I don't know what's going on either.
That was a massive tangent.
There you go. No, I was going to say just about when you kind of realize where you're like, oh, okay, oh, yeah. I'm not terrible at this.
So I guess, I don't know what the actual moment was, but I guess I always heard music teachers as kids that would like say, hey, you can do this, like you can sing. And then they would tell my mom, and then, you know what I mean? Like, all the adults around me were like, oh, you should pursue singing. And so they could hear something in me. Like, I remember my music teacher when I was in primary school hearing in me that she thought I could sing. And then she was the one who suggested to my mom to put me in singing lessons. So it was worked on, but it was always like kind of there.
Mm, yeah. That's very cool. Yeah, I'm very envious. It's the one thing in life I wish I could do. Terrible. I was a kid at school. I was good at football, and I'm good at art, to be fair, in terms of creativity. But in terms of singing, I was like shoved at the back.
If there's ever like singing lessons,
do you reckon anyone can sing? Or is it just a case of like finding your style? Can anyone sing, really, do you reckon?
With singing lessons, I don't know. There is something that you are kind of born with, which is, I don't know if everyone has that, but I think you can get better with training if you're not born with the natural thing. I think you can definitely get better.
I reckon if you were to sit me down and train me, you would pull your hair out, because you'd be like, there's no saving this poor fucker.
And that is why I'm not a singing teacher.
Yeah, fair enough. Would that be quite hard for you, actually? Because you are a good singer. Do you reckon you'd lose your mind trying to teach?
I might lose my mind. But then I feel like every now and then, like, a gem would come along and you'd be like, oh, yes, you're so good.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. Very true. Talking of gems that have come along, God, I love a segue. Australian Soul is having a great little moment right now. Like, there's so many good artists, like Bumpy, Don West. Yeah. He's obviously doing great things. Ella Haber as well. Mm-hmm. Do you like Awelu Dreamhouse as well?
They're awesome. They're all friends of mine. They're all from, I went to the BCA with all of those. All the people that were in like Dorsal Fins and Sasquatch. Mm. And like Ella Thompson was in my year at the BCA.
Oh, really?
She was the year above me at the BCA. Liam McGorry. I don't know if you know Liam. Ella Thompson's partner.
Okay.
He was at the BCA. That whole crew, they're all lovely and incredibly talented. And yeah, they're driving the Melbourne soul scene forward, basically. They have been for 10 years, ever since. Do you remember Sasquatch?
Ella mentioned them, and I've listened to them since. Yeah.
Don't do music anymore, but all the people from Sasquatch have all, like, you know, created other bands or other soul bands. And yeah, they've played a huge part in Melbourne soul scene.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great, man. Honestly, I that's part of the reason I love living here. Well, not even just specifically soul, but the music scene in Melbourne is so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do love that there is that soul pocket as well. It's amazing. Yeah. Like, I don't know why that is a thing. Like, I love that it is a thing, but it's just like, I don't know if it's just complete, like, beautiful case of happenstance.
There's just a lot of people in Melbourne that love soul, and there's a lot of people that aren't musicians that are championing soul, like Chris Gill at Northside, Bob at Hope Street.
Bob. I had a chat with him a couple of weeks ago.
Cool. I used to live with Bob. Yeah. We were housemates.
Did you really? On that as well, I want to ask you, because we've obviously just had the Hots 100. Olivia Dean, a great international soul singer, has won it. But I wanted to ask you, because only 7 in the top 20 were Australian. Mm-hmm. And to me, being a Brit living over here, doing a podcast about how good Australian music is, it does kind of baffle me a little bit. Like, I don't know if that's a case of pure lack of exposure on Aussie artists. I don't know what it is.
I couldn't tell you. There's a whole lot of things that contribute to that. It does. Mm. It is baffling. That's for sure.
It is.
There's so much good music here. It's like the chicken or the egg. I feel like radio stations have to play it for people to hear it, but then like they won't play it if it's not big enough. So it's like, how do you? It's an endless cycle that I don't know how to fix it. No one's figured out how to do that yet.
Yeah, it's weird, because it's kind of like, until you got like boots on ground in Melbourne, that's when you kind of discover these Like, for instance, sadly, I might not have heard of you had I not been living here, which is a weird thing
That's
to think.
totally, yeah, that makes sense. It's got to be changing soon. Like, I was really happy that just a whole bunch of soul artists were in the Hottest 100. The Hottest 100 doesn't really mean much to me because I've always known soul music doesn't really get played in it. This is the first year that, like, Don West, Olivia Dean got like five songs or four songs or something.
She
And
did.
then
Yeah,
Ray
wild.
as well. I'm a huge fan of Ray. And she got in the top five. I was like, kind of proud of Australia for voting in like soulful voices because that never ever happens. Well, there's always like one or something, but like that's a lot.
Yeah, big time. You know, you're right, actually. You're very right there. One artist I did want to ask you about, someone from my homeland. Do you know Brooke Coombe at all?
Oh,
She's really
I
good.
do. I follow her on Instagram and TikTok. She's awesome.
She's wicked, man. Yeah, she's been releasing stuff in the past like few months, but she's
She's
awesome. I
so
actually think as
amazing.
well, like stylistically, you guys have got even like down to like what you wear is pretty similar as well. You've
Oh,
both kind of got
really?
that like.
I haven't delved that far in, but I'll check out her fashion.
Yeah, fashion, man.
Fashion.
Fashion. Fashion, absolutely. And just before we move on to the dream gig venue stuff, because you know that weird like social media trends on other things that baffle me. They baffle me because I don't know where they
Who
come from.
knows?
But do you remember like at the start of the year everyone was doing their like 2016 like what you look like 10 years ago sort of thing? It got me thinking. I was like, if like you were chatting to yourself 2016 or even just chatting to like a young Aussie soul artist coming through, what do you reckon you would say to yourself or to them?
Well, if it was to myself, 2016 was the year I met the band that I just recorded my album in. That's the year I supported Charles Bradley at the Corner. I would probably just say, hey, you're going to record with this band and like it's going to take a long time, but you'll get there. Because I remember watching them being like, fuck, they're awesome. But I'd be like, hey, watch out, you're about to play with this awesome band in the future. And if it was for someone else, I would probably say don't get caught up because I spent a lot of time being annoyed at Triple J because they don't include soul music, really. They have soul control, but they don't really push it as much as they push other music. And years ago, I would just get annoyed, not like, because soul, no one in the soul scene would get a look in from Triple J. And I spent a lot of time just being annoyed at that. And I would say to my younger self or someone else, don't do that. Just focus on the soul scene and who's in it. And there's so many amazing people in it. And just forget about trying to get on mainstream radio because, yeah, it's too, I don't know. There's so many other avenues that I wasn't aware of back then, like PBS and Triple R. There's so many champions of soul on those radio stations, and they're the people that will help you.
Preach, love that. But yeah, it's so true because there's such like a good little like soul network, specifically in Melbourne.
Totally.
I can't really speak of any other city to be honest, but yeah, you're so true with that. And it's weird as well that it doesn't get more kind of mainstream media attention because soul is such a beloved genre of music by a lot of people.
Yeah, it's Australia's, I don't know, very like rock indie centric. I don't
Yeah, totally. I do love that stuff as well,
Same.
but like, yeah, you know, you get to a point and you're like, come on.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't ask, why is your stage name Wilson?
That's a silly story. I named myself after like a soft toy that I had when I was younger and I've lost it. And he had like in my head, he had the name Wilson on his t-shirt in big bold letters. And then I lost it. Obviously, I was like, that's a cute thing to do. And I had named myself Wilson. I'd been Wilson for like 3 years at this point. And my older sister goes to me, why did you name yourself Wilson? And I go, because of that toy that I had that was called Wilson, don't you remember? And she goes, that toy's name was Winston. So I basically named myself after nothing, like after a memory in my head that was wrong. And she would know
That's
because
great.
she's 4 years older than me, so she would remember better. But
Oh, well, there you go. I love an origin story.
yeah.
Perfect.
Cool.
Cool. If you're ready, we'll build your dream gig venue.
I'll have two pints, please. this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy, yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
First of all, can you please tell me what is the made-up name you would like to give your venue?
What? Made-up name? Oh, my God.
What about calling it Winston's?
Oh, my God. That would be so funny. Winston's Amphitheatre. Yeah, okay. Let's go with that.
Winston's Amphitheatre.
It doesn't
Perfect.
Sound very, like, that doesn't sound very, like, cool, like a gig venue name. But hey,
Winston's sounds pretty cool. All right, I'd go to Winston's. Like, yeah. It sounds like it's pretty got a bit of a cool little smoking section somewhere.
Yeah, but it's outside.
Yeah, well, exactly. The whole thing's a smoking section.
Okay. You got me there.
We'll go with that. Okay, support act, dead or alive. You're headlining. Who would you like to support?
My support as, act?
Yeah, you can go. You can literally have Aretha supporting you if you like.
What? Oh, my God.
Imagine even the way you said that. What was more soulful than how I can sing. What?
Aretha Franklin doesn't support people.
True. She doesn't. Yeah.
My support act. Let's go with Alicia Keys. Oh, my God. Imagine.
That would be amazing. That would be so cool. Yeah. Okay. Next up, what would be your walkout song? And do you have one, actually? Like when you're touring?
I don't at the moment. I've had songs before. It's hard because I'm so indecisive. Like I can never choose one to use forever. My walkout song, I reckon maybe like Daydreaming by Aretha. It's one of my favorite Aretha songs. It's a bit chill though for a walkout song.
I'd love it if you went completely left field and just went for like some heavy metal track just to completely throw people off. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, and your dream bit of merch that you would like to sell at the gig?
Oh, I don't actually know. Like my face on something. maybe like shoes or something. That would be cool. Like
your face on a pair of shoes.
No, not my face. But like Wilson. Actually, that doesn't work because Wilson's a sporting brand. Okay, I can't do that.
That's true.
I've always wanted to do hoodies because I'm like a real hoodie girl, but I don't like they're expensive to make. So I think maybe hoodies. That's
hoodies.
My goal.
With they're your really face like... just on the front.
Yeah.
just
me.
Just, hey. I'd love if there was no context, like no graphics or anything, just your face.
And then Winston on the back.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Class of 26. Okay. And finally, what weird rule would you like the crowd to have to abide to during your show?
I mean, doesn't everyone just say like no talking during that?
Beautiful. Well, that is Winston's, the dream. Love that. Thanks ever so much.
Thanks so much for chatting. I've enjoyed it.
Alternative Down Under.
My thanks to Shannon, aka Wilson. Great chat. And yeah, I love the fact that she chose her stage name as Wilson. Turns out it was meant to be Winston. What a turn of events that could have been. Who knows where her career could have ended up, rolling around the Australian music scene known as Winston. Great name, to be fair. I love the name Winston. So there you go. Maybe a different career path for her at some point. But yeah, thanks to Wilson for the chat. And such a brilliant conversation, particularly around Australian soul and the kind of lack of mainstream backing that the genre gets over here, because some of the artists we mentioned there, Bumpy, Dom West, Ella Haber, Emily Wurramara, Awelo Dreamhouse, all of these acts are amazing. Ella Thompson, who's previously been on the show, honestly just superb music, like real quality. And yeah, it's a shame, needs to get some more spins, so we will see what we can do about that. And hopefully Hottest 100, we get some more Aussie acts on there, because they were in the wider 100 and they also did the Hottest 200. There were heaps and heaps of Australian artists, but yeah, once you get kind of towards that coveted number one spot, big up Olivia Dean, then it kind of tends to get less and less. But yeah, also number four on the list this year, Play Lunch with Keith, another former Alt Down Under interviewee. Congratulations to those boys, because they have really taken off with that. And the drive that they did behind voting, the little campaign they did with Barry Hall, kidnapping them, was nothing short of cinematic. So well done to you boys. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Alt Down Under. Do follow along the journey on our socials. I'm trying to be a very busy bee, an active bunny, and an eager beaver by posting loads on there. So yeah, do stay up to date. Alt Down Under, a dot between the words, on TikTok and on Instagram as well. Big love for anyone who shares our stuff, who listens to the episode. Honestly, really does mean the world for a little solo independent podcast like mine. So big love. Enjoy the music. Get on to Wilson if you haven't listened to her before, and spread the word. Australian soul, it's where it's at. I'll be back again real soon.